used by God. You have little single girls throw themselves at me, you know. Gotta, you know. it happens. You're being used by God, you know, all these signs and wonders, and you know, girls just licking their lips in the background, like, you know, it's real. So says, I'll move down a little bit. Proverbs 6, it says, do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. Again, it goes vice versa. Look at this passage, though, which is huge in 1 John chapter 2, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. And that paragraph, that verse, is tied to the love of the Father being in you. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And it lists these things as a warning. Like, listen, these are the things you need to be looking out for, because love is at stake. You carrying the love of God is at stake here. If you open yourself up to these things that defile you, you're not going to be walking in God's love. Don't fool yourself. You can come into church. You can spend 2 hours in a worship service. You can give a great tithe. But if you're sowing in your flesh and you're fighting for position, pride of life, and lusting with your eyes, you know, undressing things with your eyes, the love of God is not in you. The love of God is not in you. Again, this is why all of this is under sanctification. We have to be, remember, if Jesus was a fisherman, the dove was a fisherman. He copycats everything the Lord does. Okay? Remember, my old friend used to say this all the time, a little story. He's a fisherman that went out to, you know, looking for fish. He put out the bait, he throws out the line, and here comes the fish. This fish is swimming, and he sees it. He goes, look at this dumb fish. You know, this dumb fish swimming towards the line, and all the fish sees is the bait. Because the fish is just wanting to serve himself. All he sees is the bait. He doesn't see the hook, though. He bites into the bait, and for an instant, he has a moment of gratification. Maybe 10 seconds. Like, man, that was so good. But then all of a sudden, he starts tasting his blood. Like, whoa, what's going on? Oh, snap. And then he feels the yank. Then his life is on the line. And there's a war going on for his life. But the whole time, the reason why he puts himself in that position is because he's looking at the bait. So as we're turning away from these things, we put ourselves in a position to see the hook. We give ourselves the discernment to see what the enemy is trying to lure us into, and we move away from that instead of being caught into something. And even if you get yourself free from that, you notice there's a scar. There's a scar there, and it might take some time to heal. And if you're not careful, it might get infected. Which is a whole nother sermon. My goodness. The unattended wound. My goodness. Oh my goodness. So, look at what God says. It says, in your mind, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Philippians 4:8. We make a choice on what we're going to put our minds on. I remember one time a friend told me a story of a man and a woman who were arguing, and they were just really going at it. And, you know, they kept saying they couldn't control their temper, but the phone started ringing, and as soon as, you know, one of them picked up the phone, they go, hello. Really sweet to the person on the line. Hi. But in the midst of that, they were arguing like crazy, because, you know, you can control yourself. You can control yourself. Don't give that excuse that you're out of control. You can control yourself. You can decide what you're going to fix your eyes on. Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look. I am not going to look upon that young lady. I'm not going to open the door and let pride make me think that I can handle it. That I can handle just a little bit of this. That little bit is going to turn into a monster. You guys ever see VeggieTales? VeggieTales is awesome. Remember the story about the fib? And how, you know, he lied a little bit, and he had a lie to cover the lie. And then that little fib started getting bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden that fib was like bigger than a building, and he's just like walking around. And all he needed to do was repent. And every time he repented, that thing shrunk and shrunk and shrunk, and then it became nothing. See, sometimes we give the enemy a little room, and we think that because it's a little room that it's no big deal. But he's not interested in a little room. He's interested in dominating you in how you think. He's interested in taking over the entire land. So again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Flee from sexual immorality. Okay, someone once said, repentance is the vomiting of the soul. Have you ever ate something that made you irritated and you vomited it up? Right? You hate vomiting, right? It's one of the nastiest things you have to do. But man, when you vomit, you feel a lot better, right? You're like, oh, thank God it's out of me, you know? You know? But you know, the devil's a clever devil. He's like, you know what? They vomited that, but let me see if I can make that vomit look like a Hostess cupcake again. As a dog returns to his vomit, so is a man that returns to his sin. In one moment, he's vomiting in total disgust, feeling the freedom. And then next thing you know, somehow through time and a careless approach, you're back to the vomit. That's why humility is so important in all of this. Because an unprotected strength is a double weakness. An unprotected strength. If you think you're strong in this area, I thank God that you're strong in this area. But watch your strength. Because if it's unprotected, I'm good. I don't have any issues here. If you're not careful, it's a double weakness later on. The devil loves to help you graduate. He loves you feeling that you've accomplished something. Right? And we live in a culture that we go through life, we graduate eighth grade, hallelujah. We graduate high school, great. We graduate college. And these moments of feeling accomplished, back to fearfully and wonderfully made, our value isn't tied to our accomplishments. But if you live in that place, you'll get to a place where you're settled in, and now where you should be on guard, you are vulnerable to do things you never thought you would do. So again, this area of life is more important, especially, I want to stress with the married couples. I would really suggest, and I've done this, I've practiced this, I reevaluate how I go into the bedroom. I examine that. Because that is one of the most sacred and intimate times in life with your spouse. And if you're going into it consistently about what's she going to do for me or what he going to do for me, you are on the pathway of all the rest of your life being about that. It's an expression of where your heart is. It really is an expression of where your heart is. That's why we need to repent. I mean, have a godly perspective on that. It's another opportunity to serve and to let Jesus be magnified through us. Okay. So again, it also mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now flee youthful lusts. You got gym shoes on? Use them. Don't expect Jesus to come and just rescue you out of a situation. Run, baby. I've ran before. I run. Joseph ran. That's wisdom. You ain't got to sit there and try to be a macho man and be like, I got this. Yeah, I got this. You know, come on, girl. No. Run for your life. Because your life is at stake. Have you ever read Proverbs 4 and 5? What happens to a man that's seduced? The Bible says he's reduced to a piece of bread. That's how he's viewed as. That's how he feels about himself. He's nothing. You see how the enemy uses this to get us to believe things about us that aren't true? You turn into nothing, really, literally, through this carelessness. Okay? So, again, we need to repent of any of these sexual things that have affected us. The main way, again, in order to do that is, and again, we've been immersing ourselves in God this weekend, but we need to call sin for what it is. We can't rename it just because the world is renaming everything else. They've been doing that so well. It's called historical revisionism, if you want to know what it's called. They'll go back and change the names of things in the past so that way we see it differently from the future. Oh, so this wasn't this, it was this. Oh, okay, so that doesn't matter. Like, there's a lot to that. But for us, we have to fight the temptation of not calling these things sin because they're so acceptable around us in our culture. These are the things that break fellowship with God. It doesn't break sonship. You're always going to be a son and daughter. That's already done. But fellowship is the issue. Communion is the issue with God. And when we just rest on, oh, I'm a son of God, I made that declaration, but there's no fellowship, we've got problems. That's the great deception of our time. He loves me. You know, I'm his child. Well, are you having fellowship with him? No. Why? Because there's sin. There's sin that hasn't been repented of that blocks you from really having that intimacy with him. That blocks you from, like what Chip shared, seeing him as the way we should see him. A father running towards us when we sin. And when it comes to the secret place, we're afraid to go to the secret place. Like, man, why would God want to spend time with me? One of the interesting illustrations that came up earlier was the Lord showed me like a hand going into the garbage. And how, you know, I remember when I was going through the situation with that flash drive, you know, I went in the garbage looking for it. And I was like, oh, God, I got to do this. I'm like, and I'm going through it. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't even want to look at it. But the Lord was like, listen, I'm willing to step into the garbage. I'm willing to do that. Again, remember the context of Matthew 1. We think about the fact that sometimes we believe that the Bible doesn't relate to our times. Herod is a wicked king. There are three terrible political parties. There's racism. Women are treated like garbage. They're not even considered citizens, women and children. But Jesus is not intimidated by the garbage. He steps right into it. He steps right into that. So if you're sin, if you realize there's some areas that you're struggling here with in this particular area, listen, Jesus isn't intimidated by your sin. He'll go right into your garbage. He'll dig right in there. He's like, yeah, I'm going in there to get that out. You're valuable to him. So we have to see him from the right way and, again, be willing to repent of things that we look upon. Again, it's not just sex and lust. It could be other things. You could be lusting for a job. You could be lusting for a position. These are all fellowship killers that keep us from really knowing him. Okay? I wanted to do this one a little bit shorter because I want to make sure that we're getting to other sections, the next one on time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the next section now. And then after that, we'll pray and then go into the last one before the break. Okay? So we'll jump into media that will destroy your mind. Again, I know for some of y'all, oh Lord, these shows, oh my goodness. It reminds me of an old story that I heard from a man who said he had two daughters. They wanted to go see a movie. And there were some swear words in it. And the girls were like, man, Dad, there's not a lot of swear words in it. What's the big deal? He said, listen, it is a big deal. I don't want you to be listening to this type of stuff. It's importantly, and they're going back and forth, and then the dad's like, you know what, let's just make some cookies. And then, you know, the kids, you know, they completely forgot about the movie. They're like, oh, yeah, let's do our cookies. So he took out the dough and all this stuff, and they're starting to make it. He gets the batter together, and he said, wait a minute, girls. There's one thing we're missing. So he runs out to the backyard, and comes back in, and he's got a little bag of dog poo in the bag. And he's like, this is the last piece of the ingredient. They're like, no, Dad, there's no way. Don't do that. You're going to ruin it. And he goes, but I'm only going to put a little bit in it. Just a little bit. Those girls are like, no, you can't do it. Well, look at all this batter. And it's just a little bit of dookie. It's just a little bit. And he realized, he taught them through that, listen, again, it's a little bit of leaven that leavens the whole lump. And if there's one area where there's a smorgasbord of freedom in Jesus is media. Because we are so open to all these shows that are not particularly demonic. They're not like bashing Jesus, but there's that in between, that lukewarmness. Again, you know, a frog, you put a frog in a hot, you know, some hot water, it'll jump right out. But if you put him in lukewarm water, and let him sit there and warm it up slowly, he'll boil to death. He'll get comfortable in that lukewarmness. He's just like, oh, yeah, this feels good. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, snap, my heart stopped. Life's over. So when the devil comes to us, he's trying to, again, put us in a position where we'll be numb to our circumstances. Easy for us to accept it. Think about the Trojan horse analogy. These two armies are fighting. They're going back and forth. They're like, man, how can we get inside? Because remember, sin is an inside job. Sin is an inside job. So they go, you know what we can do is we can offer them a gift. And then in that gift, we'll have soldiers in them. So they'll be like, man, what a great gesture. And they open up their doors and they let the gift in. And all of a sudden they're like, bah, you know, there's war. And then, oh my God, we got deceived. Because this whole time they thought there was going to be a gift. A man in Canada did this one time. Real smart. There was a strike. The garbage was not being picked up. He's like, man, I got to get rid of my garbage. So he grabbed his garbage, got some Christmas wrapping, and wrapped it up into the nice gift wrap boxes. He took it out in front of his house and put it in front of his house. He just left it out there. And he's just looking out the window, just looking, just waiting to see. Sure enough, cars are passing by, passing, passing. All of a sudden, someone stops. Guy comes out, he's looking around like, snap. Takes the stuff in the car and he's gone. And he's like, man, he just took my garbage. But that's how the devil works. He spends so much time gift wrapping garbage so that you are looking at the gift wrapping and like, oh, wow, this must be good for me. That's right. What's on the inside is a bunch of baloney. And we take it in like, oh, praise the Lord, I'm blessed. I'm sure that guy was driving home like, man, this is awesome. And he's got garbage in his car. So media, again, this is huge. Someone told me the other day, like, you know, I don't understand why that's such a big deal. Think about how much money advertisers spent on 30 seconds during the Super Bowl. If you don't think they're convinced it's influencing the masses, they wouldn't put millions of dollars on 25 seconds of, you know, Hostess Cupcakes or whatever it is. Toyota, whatever it is, they're like, you know what? There's something to this doorway, to this channel that communicates our message that's influencing people for us to make a profit. Now, the Bible says the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world. And that this is why all of this is so intertwined, fearfully and wonderfully made, godly sexuality, and even this. Because, again, if a man doesn't find his satisfaction in Jesus, he doesn't know his value in Jesus, he will put his value in possessions. and things. Immediate is the doorway. I knew a guy who spent more time on fixing his car and making his car look so nice, and he had three boys. He never spent time with his boys. But that car, though, that car couldn't have a blemish because he tied his value to that car. So media serves as a vehicle of communication for information or entertainment. We must be careful to filter our information and entertainment so that we are not led away by our emotions from Jesus. The media can stimulate your emotions and senses. Come on now. When last time you saw a commercial, you're like, And you right in the car, 20 minutes later, going to the store. Buying that, whatever. There's a sale at Kohl's. I'm there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these things are stimulating us. So we got to be very careful here. Media can manipulate your mind and influence your actions. I knew a friend of mine, precious soul, great kid, straight A's kid. Man, we're going to school, we're young, and he watched one movie. His dad let him go see it. I think it was New Jack City or something. That kid came back and he was quoting the movie. Or he was already quoting most of the lines of the movie. He had totally invested himself over into this movie. He was never the same. He turned into one of those characters. He did drugs. He smoked. All these different things. Just one moment in time of him watching this garbage, and all of a sudden he's just a different guy. He's not the same guy anymore. I'm like, what happened to him? Just one movie. It's so sad. Okay, so then you have the messages that come through it, both direct and subliminal, come to us through the media, both positively and negatively. Okay? Remember, sin sells. The reason why we sin is because it does offer something. Don't fool yourself. It's all terrible and I hate sin. No, the reason why you sin is because it offers some sort of pleasure. Right? If there was no pleasure involved, you wouldn't do it. Right. But that's why you got to see the hook. That's why you have to spend time with Jesus in order to see the very temptation, the very thing God's trying to bring you into, or the devil's trying to bring you into. So one of the things you need to be challenged with is, again, this is some questions you can ask yourself in regards to media. Ask the Holy Spirit, should I watch or listen to this? Have you ever asked the Spirit to be the filter of what goes into your mind, into your ears, and into your eyes? Because these are the doorways, right? Your eyes and your ears. It's a legitimate question to ask. If Jesus is Lord, that means that you're not going to make decisions autonomously on your own. This is not a democracy. Jesus ain't voting, you're voting. You're like, okay, Jesus had this vote, I had this vote. You know, let's see what my mama says. You had this vote, okay, we're good. Jesus, sorry for you. We got more than, you know, we got majority here. No, it's a monarchy. Okay, it's not a democracy. This is part of, again, sanctification. How do you see Jesus? Do you see him as your savior and your friend, or do you see him rightly as a king? Because if he's a king, he calls the shots. He calls the shots, right? Even in Mark chapter 2, when we see Jesus coming into the scene, he says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. He's not talking about heaven. He's not talking about forgiven sins. What he's saying is, prophecy has come to this moment declaring that the kingdom of God, God's rule is now. The king is here. Repent. And what are we repenting of? We are repenting of the idea that we need to be in control of our lives. I'm getting off the throne and letting him sit where he belongs. That's repentance. I don't belong here. I don't have the weight, the ability to be in this position. So I step off. You sit in your proper place. That's repentance. That's the message of Mark. Jesus is setting the tone there. So when we call the shots, especially in this area, oh man, or any area, guys, again, any area. This is just one specific one that, again, is constantly bombarding us with images and thoughts and messages. I look at it as most, my grid is, if my kids can't watch it, I shouldn't watch it. No, if I can't watch it, my kids shouldn't watch it. Because they're more impressionable than me. And I know family members don't like it, but again, who cares? Ask, would Jesus watch, listen to, surf what I'm about to observe? Does this edify, build my life? Do I have a better relationship with God because of it? What I do with the people in the movie are doing, would I do what the people in the movie are doing or sing a song about it? Could I play or watch this on a Sunday morning service in front of everyone there? Practical questions, right? People are like, It's like, conviction is a blessing. You lose that, you lose everything. That's why it says repentance is a gift. So we got to, reset our filter in order to, again, the goal is being conformed to the image of Jesus. The world is trying to conform you. The enemy is using the world to conform you into his image. That's his goal, guys. It's not hidden. This is not a mystery. The issue is, what are we going to submit to? That's the issue. It always comes down to submission, guys. If you really want to boil it down to the whole thing, it always comes down to submission. He's come as a king. Are you going to recognize him as king? And are you going to submit to his ways in every area of your life? Are you going to say he's Lord in every area of your life? Media, I know it's a form of entertainment. And you know what? Interesting, the Bible says he's the Lord of hosts. Think about that. A host is someone who entertains something. A host, you already are inclined to entertain. You're already inclined. Now, literally, it's meant for you to entertain the Lord, to be, you know, enthralled in him, but you are already wired to entertain something. That's you can't fight that. That's why even worship, you can't stop worshiping. You're going to worship something. You can't say, I'm going to stop worshiping that or the Lord. Oh, well, if you stop worshiping the Lord, you're going to worship something. It's either you, it's either your friends, it's either your job, it's going to be something. Your ideas, your dreams, you're going to worship. You can't turn that off. What you can do is decide what you're going to submit to, the object of your worship. That's what you can decide. So again, the media, again, this is all about getting us to a place of lukewarmness. And this is why comparisons are so important. I remember years ago when the whole Jeffrey Dahmer thing came out. Remember Jeffrey Dahmer? He was a mass murderer. And everybody was like, he's such an evil person. And I felt so grieved because the issue was that a lot of people were just, they took so much time comparing themselves to him, that that's something they wouldn't do, that it got them to be blind about their own sin. Like, he's doing something so bad that all of a sudden they felt like self-righteous, like, I'm better than that. And I don't need to repent. And Jesus warns us in Revelation, I'd rather you be cold or hot. He spits out those who are lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out. So this whole media onslaught is designed to get you to be lukewarm, to entertain yourself, so that way you're in sleeping, in a sense, when you should be sober. Right? You're being desensitized to the things that are evil because now they look so gift-wrapped, so well. You're like, wow, it's got to be great. Like, no, it isn't great. You need spiritual eyes to see the garbage. But that only happens through being with Jesus. That only happens with repenting of these things and making a decision. One of the wildest verses in the Bible that we read about just the end of someone's life is in 1 Kings. We see Solomon's life. The writer of Ecclesiastes and part of Proverbs, Song of Solomon. He had learned to choose the best thing. He cries out for discernment, a heart that, you know, God, give me the wisdom to deal with your people. And God says, man, because you've chosen that, I'm going to give you everything else. But there's a warning over Solomon, over every king, all of your kings and queens. He says, don't have many lovers. Have one lover. And obviously, Solomon somehow forgot. And he had 700 concubines and 600 women, whatever, you know, he's just living the high life. He's like, man, look at all these females chasing me down. Not knowing that behind those women was the idol that was chasing him down. And at the end of his life, he's serving idols. He's not serving the Lord. He's serving idols. Think about this. This is the man who's called, has the greatest wisdom in the scriptures. He's serving idols because he opened himself up to many lovers. So this media thing is that pursuit. The enemy's desire to get you to be attached to many lovers. The more your heart's divided, the more it leads you to idolatry. It's a demonic strategy. It works. It works, man. You've seen it all over the place. People are so torn because they're so attached to so many different things. Listen, even fear of loss leads to defilement. Fear of loss. I learned this in a wild way through the Holy Spirit, through Star Wars. So good. I'm not a big Star Wars person, but I was watching Star Wars. I saw a progression of a man who was so caught up in this woman, and even the idea of losing her made him make decisions. And he just started turning into, from a young boy, into Vader. And it's interesting, he would have never said in one part of his life, I want to be Darth Vader, I want to be dark, I want to kill people. He would have never said that. But the progression, because he lusted and because he was afraid to lose, he turned into something dark. Listen, this is why lust is so powerful, guys. Because there's an end result to lust. And it doesn't look like Jesus. It looks like a very dark place. It looks like idolatry. It looks like you are just enabled, paralyzed in your walk with God. Finally, in this area of media, again, in the themes of many lovers, remember, you're the bride of Christ. When you get engaged, the last thing you want is for some past girlfriend to pop up on the scene, right? Or boyfriend. Like, who is this fool coming up on here right now? Are you still interested in her? What's going on? You want to know that that man or woman is cutting off everything. Everything, because he's looking to the day. He's preparing himself for the day that we're going to come together. And it's the same thing for us as the bride of Christ. We have a wedding to head towards. Revelation 19. There's a wedding ahead of us. And the enemy's like, I want them to get to that wedding with so many lovers. So many things in their hearts. They're like, man, well, I'm not even ready for this wedding. God's like, listen, I'm a jealous God. These things, the media, other avenues that are reaching after your heart, pursuing you, you need to cut them off. Because I want a bride who's just looking at me and not at all these other things. If I knew my wife was interested in 3 or 4 other dudes before she got married to me, I wouldn't be interested in marrying her. I'm like, this ain't gonna work. I'm 1 of 4. I'm in competition with all these dudes. Like, this ain't gonna work. I'm out. How do we expect a healthy relationship with God to work when our hearts are tied to so many things? That's why we can't lower our guard in the area of media. We can't. We got to ask these questions. We got to pray. There's no rush for you to make a decision about watching, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something, or whatever it is. I mean, whatever these shows are, I don't even watch them. I don't. I don't watch shows anymore because I know how they affected me. Be honest with you, when I was a kid, this is my role model. My dad wasn't around. I had Jack Tripper from Three's Company as my role model. You know who Jack Tripper is? A goofy, womanizing man. That's what he was. He's just a goofy, womanizing dude who's living with two girls. I go, man, I want to be like Jack. Jack's the man. He got two women living with him. He gets a flirt. He's got a bar downstairs. Cool, man. Let's do this. I had that. I had the Incredible Hulk. David Banner. I literally thought I was the Incredible Hulk for a season. I would tear my shirt off at school when I would get angry. I would quote David Banner and say, listen, you don't want to see me angry. And they get me angry and I tear my shirt off. And the teacher would be like, man, just let him go. He's crazy. After a while, my mom was like, listen, I'm going to buy you some real good shirts. She didn't tell me this. I'm going to buy him some good shirts. Not shirts at Zare or Venture. Back then, that was the stores. I'm going to buy him some real good shirts. So I went to school and I get into my Hulk mode and I'm like trying to rip my shirt. I couldn't rip it. And I thought I had lost my powers, you know. I'm like, I'm not the Hulk. But these are the things, again, these are the things that were influencing me. Thank God for Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime. Praise the Lord for him. At least Optimus had character. If you ever watched the show, they would have a little snippet at the end teaching you a moral lesson, you know, how to treat others. And Optimus always laid down his life for others. That was very unique about him. I go, Optimus, that dude is cool. But then he was in competition with Jack Tripper and all these other dudes. So, again, we can't belittle the fact of these things that influence us as children and even as adults. Just because you're 25, 30, 40, 50 doesn't mean it's not weighing on your heart. It's not chipping away at something. You may not see the full picture. Remember, a sculpture chips away, and then later on you see the full picture, right? It's the same thing with the devil. Just chipping away, and then later on you see the full picture. Oh my goodness, what happened to me? I never thought I would look like this. But you let him chip away at you through media and other things. So I'm going to pray here now. Give us a little bit of a break, and then we'll finish the last session, and then we're going to take a break and then get ready for the last one. Okay? You guys are awesome. You guys are hanging in there? Hanging in there? Okay. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, that we need to press the reset button in this area of either sexual purity or the media that destroys our minds. Lord, I know that we want to be people who want to be entertained so much. But Lord, I pray that our main joy, our main entertainment really comes from being with you. God, help us repent of any known sin. If in these last few moments, guys, again, the repentance is the vomiting of the soul. If there's something that you recognize that is off, that you brought into your heart, that is violating your relationship with Jesus Christ, I encourage you right now to repent. In the name of Jesus, repent of it. It's time to ask the Lord to forgive you and to cleanse you of this sin. It's what blocks you from having intimacy with him. So, Lord, I thank you so much. Holy Spirit, it's not my job to convict. It's your job. You do it very well. Thank you, Lord, for conviction, for repentance. Lord, help us be a people that guard our hearts in such a way that because we value fellowship with you. We value fellowship with you, Lord. We know that that's where the river flows. The rivers of living waters are you, being with you. So God, we don't want to violate that. We don't want to be careless as Solomon was, even as David was. We don't want to be careless and lower our guards. And just because it's such a small thing, it's no big deal. It is a big thing. It hurts your heart. So whatever the shows may be, whatever we're streaming, I ask, Lord, right now, to give my brothers and sisters grace, the strength to say no, to walk away from it, just as it says to flee sexual morality. I pray they would run away, even literally, from these things. They would have a real sense of the fear of the Lord. They would cooperate with your spirit as you're molding them into the image of Jesus Christ. If it ain't building towards that, I pray that they would say no. If it ain't part of the work to build us up into what that image looks like, we would say no, Lord. So thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, we're going to take a 10-minute break. Stretch your legs out. 4:05, get back in here. Do the last session. Should be really good. And then we'll head for lunch or dinner. Amen.